B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. It's T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Left side, Newton's going to run the ball. He gets hit. He flipped up in the air. He doesn't get there. Clock ticks down. It's all zeros. What a play by the Seahawks defense. They throw their helmets. They are going nuts on the field. Cam Newton, the first time tonight, I believe they've stopped him dead in his tracks, and I believe it was Bobby Wagner who got there to do it. What an end to what a game. The Seahawks win 35-30 over the Patriots. Wow.
It was a great play by them. That's a play we had favorite in the game plan. We ran it a couple times and figured, this thing we probably went to the well too many times, but at the end of the day, Seth felt confident about it. We just got to execute. And I could have bounced it, looking at the clip. I just got to be better. Just got to be better here at the end. And, we put ourselves in a position to win. And, when you do that, you got to finish. And we didn't do that today.
Yeah, that's how it ended last night. Let's get right back into it with you. It's Felger and Mazz, brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Also, very important, you can catch us on all the interwebs, 98.5thesportshub.com, the app, the smartphone app, excellent product, your smart speaker, all of that. So catch us on that. It is a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. And now it's time for a hot take, Mazz, brought to you by Rodenheiser.
Yep, hot takes brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. The final play of the game. I didn't like the play. And again, it's easy to say that. And it's not that, in retrospect, it's always easy to say. But I said it in real time. Where are the receivers? What are the options on the play? And what I didn't like about the play isn't that they ran it into the line or what was plan B. What was the other option on the play? There was no other option on the play. So I think if you're going to do that, you got to at least give the defense something else to worry about. You have to have receivers on the outside to create a little bit of space or someone in the backfield that you can throw to. Let them account for someone other than the quarterback. This felt to me like we're going to put 9 guys on the line of scrimmage. We're going to put Johnson on Cam's left, and we're going to run it that way. Because look at the stills of it. There are 22 guys jammed in the middle of the field. To me, what's the point of having Cam Newton's versatility if you're going to take away one of those options, which is to throw, or someone else running, or just give me some other option on the play that makes the defense think a little and spread out, and they didn't do that. And
especially on a night where he throws for almost 400 yards. If you spread it out and had a wide receiver or two out there, you'll have an element of surprise. I like the idea, keeping it in Cam Newton's hands, and you try to run it in. I just hated the formation, like Mazz.
So I didn't love it. I mean, there's worse goal line plays. I told you, if they had thrown a back pylon fade, I would have hated it more. If they had rolled them out to one side of the field.
Yeah, you cut the field in half. I hate those.
To throw, and then now you're throwing to only half the field, I would have hated that. If they had handed off to Sony Michel, I would have hated that.
Yeah.
So, it's not the worst play call. So there's things they could have done that would have bugged me more. I'll go back to, again, Seattle was ready for it. Seattle was there. So you got out-coached on the play, which really shouldn't taste good if Pete Carroll's on the other side. That their coaches were ahead of you. And you're usually one step ahead of the other side. And I know that formation, they had used it all game. Seattle hadn't really stopped it. They did stop the 2-point conversion. But on those other plays, the Pats scored on that. And so they came back out with it again. I think they scored on the exact same play the series before. If I'm not mistaken, did you go back and look at it, Mazz?
I didn't yet.
I think it was the same personnel with the same little motion that the running back went to the left, I think. But either way, that formation, that big formation, they had been using all game and using successfully. So, I get it. You have to make them prove they can stop you before you stop doing something. But that's, I said this earlier, that's typically not how the Patriots approach. We're going to do what we do and we're going to make you stop us. That's sort of not what they are. What they are is a team that outthinks you. Oh, you're going to defend it this way, so we're going to run it that way. And that's generally what they do. They generally don't telegraph what they're going to do. They don't repeat plays and formations, just daring you to stop them. That's just not their, that's not how Bill approaches it.
It was basically the same play.
I mean, I like with the same motion, right? The same personnel, the same motion, and Mason coming across from the right side.
Correct.
I mean, I think it was pretty damn similar. So it's like, that's not really you. I mean, what you will do is maybe run a similar player concept out of different formations to give them a different look, but you don't typically. So that's what I didn't like about it. It's like, I didn't feel like it was really in character for them to just run the same thing over and over again. And it failed, and the fact is, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks were ready for it. So you got outcoached on that. To me, a bigger second guess was the clock management down the stretch. And the fourth to last play, the last big one that got you down close was a deep out to Julian Edelman where Bobby Wagner tackled Edelman with a big play, really. Stopped him inbounds. And Edelman went spilling out of bounds. The refs easily could have said, out of bounds on that. It was close. But he said he was tackled inbounds. And and you didn't call a timeout. You had one timeout at that point, and you huddled up, and I think even Newton sort of had to set the offensive formation, and you lost, as Murray counted out, 25 seconds. And the next play was a skinny post to Edelman in the end zone that was there. And Newton just was a little high, a little hard, and Edelman couldn't come up with it. But they were close. They were that close to making that play. It was there. But so they had the play, but the offshoot is that when it's done, you're sitting there with 9 seconds left. You only had time for two more plays. If you had called timeout immediately after Edelman's catch, did it happen with 36 seconds left?
I have Edelman getting up from the ground, and there was 27 on the clock. So add a few more.
So it started with 36.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's getting up on the ground at 27. So he called timeout at 27, and you're on the 13-yard line. Okay? That's time for three throws into the end zone.
Absolutely it is.
Maybe four.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. A pass play takes 6 to 8 seconds.
Six or 7 seconds, right.
Yeah, so like you did one quick one. So you ended up running only two more plays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you cost yourself. And in real time, too, I was watching it with Joe Murray here in the postgame. I'm like, call the timeout. What are you doing? And granted, the way it played out, it looked like they did everything correctly. But in hindsight, yeah, they probably should have called that timeout.
So you call that timeout, you can still throw over the middle, run up and clock it. And you'll have easily time for three plays if you even throw, so that ball to Harry, it takes like 10 seconds to go clock. That's generally what 10 to 12 seconds. So again, just do the math. You have 27 seconds. You throw it to Harry over the middle. You clock it. Now you're down around 12, whatever seconds or so. That's time for two plays down there.
It is, yep.
You only had time for one. You cost yourself at least a play, maybe two.
No question they did.
And that's on Bill or Ernie or who's ever in charge of it, them. And Bill missed that. He missed that. He usually maximizes that.
He knows it.
He left a play on the table, which is why he was such a bitch about it after the game. Because I do think he knows it. So I have a bigger second guess with that clock management than I do the play.
Do you think there's any chance that initially they didn't call timeout because they thought Edelman was out of bounds and then a few seconds ticked off and they said, hurry up?
I don't know.
No. No, they're usually on top of
it. I mean, the ref immediately was.
He did, yeah, he did. He clocked his arm. There's no question about it. I just wonder. I don't know. And in all honesty, watching the play again, I think they called it right. I think Edelman came down in bounds on the ground.
Yeah,
and then rolled out.
It's a big play by Wagner.
Yeah, it was.
So you had it. So you had a chance for a couple more plays there. So it doesn't come down to Cam Newton and that last second run. You've got to throw before that if you handle the clock right. So those are two big second guesses. Murray didn't love the play call. I didn't love it either. But I love I disliked the clock management even more. So, all right, back to your thoughts on everything. Tony in Stoneham. Hi, Tony. What do you got?
I got a couple of things. First of all, the defensive guy made a play as good as Butler's play in the Super Bowl. He took the defender out.
Yeah, Collier. Out. Collier beat up this Anawanu, the rookie.
Anawanu,
yeah. So
whoever it was, yes. But I'll tell you what surprised me about the first 2 weeks is here we got Brady with much better receivers than he had last year, and he's way down on the list of passes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting. And, yeah. And yet we got this guy comes into Boston with the same receivers. And he's lights out.
Huh. Interesting how that happens. Tony, what do you think that's about?
What I think it's about is this. I think Belichick wanted to get rid of Brady, period. And he gave him no help the last year. And I think he forced him out. And the reason he went to Tampa Bay, you keep saying, why did he go there? TB12. He's going to use that for his product after he's through with football.
He could have done that anywhere. But why? How is it? It's true that Tom Brady is surrounded by such a better cast than Cam Newton. Yet through 2 weeks, Cam Newton, I mean, I'll just give some straight stats, ranks 8th in the league in quarterback. Oh, hold on. Stand by.
He's 8th in completion percentage, I think.
He, in terms of quarterback rating, I don't want to do this in real time.
I looked it up quickly this morning. He's like 11th. And he's ahead of Brady.
So, yes. So Cam Newton has a 96.8 quarterback rating, and Tom Brady has a
80?
Oh, no. 80?
Oh, something like that.
Oh, Brady's way down there. That's why I didn't see it. 79.3.
Oh, yeah. Brady has sucked so far.
So riddle me this, Boston. How do you have a better team around you but have worse results? How does that? So you can say opponents part of it, but I'd say that the two schedules are comparable. Like, you've each played one hard game at New Orleans, at Seattle. It's comparable. New Orleans might be a little better. I don't know. I think they're probably roughly the same. And then home games against two bums, Carolina and Miami. So I think the schedule's been the same.
Do you want me to answer it?
Yeah, answer.
Okay, because the guy that used to be here checked out, and the guy that's here now checked in. That's why.
And there's a coach component that's involved.
Yeah, but I'm comparing apples to apples. I'm trying to compare Brady in New England to Newton in New England. What was the difference? Newton's engaged, Brady wasn't.
Okay, I'm comparing Brady now to Newton now. And it's coaching, program. Murray was giving this to us off the air. In 2 weeks, the Patriots have not had a single offensive penalty.
Yeah, and that's confirmed by our friend at Boston Sports Inf on Twitter, too. Two straight weeks.
Haven't jumped off sides.
Nope.
Haven't lined up wrong. Haven't had a procedure. Haven't had a backfield in motion. Haven't had a delay a game. Haven't even reached out and grabbed someone on a pass rush.
And that's despite having a new quarterback for the first time in two decades.
Okay. New quarterback who signed super late, new to the system, and you haven't fouled one thing up. Meanwhile, Brady and Tampa, how many penalties do they have?
7 penalties on offense, 6 accepted.
And Brady's thrown 3 picks.
And Brady's thrown 3 picks. 3 picks.
The leaders have 4. Kirk Cousins is one of them.
So
Brady and Kirk Cousins side by side.
Brady's better than Newton, and he's surrounded by better players. Yet Newton's had a better first 2 weeks. You tell me why. You tell me why that's the case. Pick this up on the other side right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ken, it was repeated over the broadcast tonight a bunch of times that they thought they had never seen you throw the ball any better. I'm just curious about how you feel about how you're throwing the football to this point in the season.
Just trying to continually to get better. You know, that's all. You know, for those guys that have faith in me, and, you know, I just have to deliver.
Jed Fish said to us earlier this week that they're trying to get you to marry the head with the feet. Is that a bit of a process? Because they said they don't want to touch the throwing motion because that's something you've had for forever and a day. Do you feel like you're being able to marry the head and the feet more and more as you get more and more comfortable with the offense?
Yeah, it's just a day-to-day process that, you know, from me trusting in them and obviously them keep, you know, when I say them, coaches, you know, keep coaching me up. And I have to be, you know, accept, you know, whatever's given to me because I know it goes to better, you know, intuition for myself as well as the team.
So I don't know if Cam Newton's ever thrown the ball better. Like, I didn't watch him on a regular basis in Carolina. But it was interesting to see the broadcast last night, Maz, you know, talk about the mechanics of it. And you could really see him working on it. I think this is a great sign. like he's taking that coaching like down to that level where he's working on the mechanics of it and how his shoulders are set and how his feet are square and like that sort of thing. Like that's he doesn't quote unquote need to do that. You know, he's 11 years, 10 years in the league, MVP, first overall pick, etc. You know, he doesn't have to start over and, you know, let someone tinker with his mechanics, but he is. That's a good sign.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. You're talking about an accomplished player. And so and they did. They broke it down well because there was that one play in the middle of the game where he kind of spun and just kind of flipped it out there, falling backwards. And it was a wild, lazy throw. But the most of them, like that just watching it again, that last out he threw to Edelman on the sideline, that's a good ball. That's a good ball. And he had, I mean, he's still getting a lot on it. It feels like the arm's healthy on top of it. I don't know how you don't come out of it feeling good about him after last night. Him now. Now, the team, there are other issues. The defense in particular. You go in there and you give up 35 points and you get run on for 150 yards. Like that to me, the front seven's got me worried. The talent's in the secondary for them to play better, but it's hard to not feel good about the way the quarterback's playing.
Okay, phones, as promised, Stephanie is in Alabama waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Stephanie. What do you got?
No problem, guys. This is kind of a question observation on the lighter side, Boston sports fan my whole life. But what is going on with Stephen Belichick's crew cut in the front, mullet in the back? Or maybe the better question is, why does Bill let him do this? It's just shocking to me. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. Murray, your thoughts on Steve Belichick's mullet?
He's certainly got a look, and it's not like the old man is really into his aesthetic look either. So whatever, do whatever makes you feel comfortable, son. I think that's probably the tact he's taking.
Big fashion household.
Yeah.
Seriously, big fashion. Linda must wake up and go, oh, my God, what did I do?
The Belichick's just grab a pair of scissors and just start cutting. They don't really
right sleeves, hair,
whatever. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same job. It's like in line. Bill does his sleeves and the kid does his hair. Like that's what it looks like, right?
Yeah, Dad. Can I have the scissors?
John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
I thought the team showed very, very good signs by being able to respond being down. I didn't really see that coming from Cam at this point in the season. To be honest with you, the first half was pretty slow on the offensive side. They didn't really do too much. And I feel like they're just kind of like unleashing him in the second half. So I thought that was great. But why is Bill getting a pass here on his defense? I mean, the defense was freaking terrible. 35 points. You know, if you told me that we'd get 30 points on Seattle, I would expect a W on the road there. Yep. I wouldn't expect to have a loss. Granted, you know, Pete kind of tried to give it away to us again, but still, I was kind of disappointed with the defense there.
Yeah, get on the defense. Absolutely. And if that's how they're going to play defense, they're not going to go anywhere, no matter what Cam Newton does or whatever. You can't give up 35 points again.
I mean, it's got to be better than that. And again, they're facing the second-best quarterback in the league. And if you go by Belichick, the guy's playing better than anybody. They'll have Mahomes in a couple of weeks. But Murray mentioned this earlier, and he's right. At the end of the day, it's really about those rushing yards. You're giving up 150 on the ground, 150. Mm. The talent in the secondary is there. They have the players in the secondary. But the front seven, with the way it's going on offense, they're going to have to pick someone up in the front seven.
Yeah, and some of those, you just have to tip your cap to Russell Wilson. Right now, he's the MVP of the league. He's on fire. The linebacking core, Juwan Bentley, like he is what he is. That's the first time I said, and we're only 2 weeks in, holy crap, they missed Dante Hightower.
Gilmore's pissing me off, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Gilmore's pissing me off. He got a pay bump. They gave him his money. He played hardball, and he has sucked in the first 2 weeks. So now, look, the Metcalf's a huge target. He's a tough guy to bring down and get all that. I don't care. If you're going to be the defensive player of the year, then you got to take guys like that out. So I don't care whether it's a tough matchup or not. Like, you know, and he wasn't good in the Miami game. So to me, Gilmore's got to wake up. He hasn't been good.
I'm with you. That's fine. But I'm also with Murray. Like, watch some of those touchdowns. The long one to DK Metcalf, Gilmore was in his hip pocket. He's got to make the play, but it's not like it was a blown coverage or he wasn't anywhere close. The long one at the pylon to, again, the kid I keep forgetting who caught that. What a great catch that was by Moore. You know,
Jason McCourty was there.
He's right there. It's right there. And again, the first touchdown out of NBC Sports Boston. Just if you don't know what you're talking about with Stephen Belichick, just you can throw that up there. It's hideous.
And he's got the big chai in,
oh,
too.
It's just hideous. Dude, get a grip. Anyway,
looks like one of our old interns.
Yeah. so the coverage is there. They just made great plays. So, I mean, But the front seven, I said this earlier. Now, last night, you see last night, maybe they showed themselves what they're capable of. You're going to be good. Newton's good. You're going to be good. You're going to have a season. You're going to be able to do something. And you let all that money go out the door with the opt-outs and everything. You didn't replace those guys. You've hardly spent any money. You gave Gilmore a little bump, and that's it. Otherwise, you're near the bottom, if not at the very bottom, of money spent this year, real money spent. You have the most cap room in the league, or the second most anyway, and now you know you're going to have a good team. Do something. Do something. Give these guys some help because you might be onto something here. So I don't think there's any excuse. It would be a real shame if they end the year with like the second lowest payroll or lowest payroll in the league and you have a good team. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you're going to be doing that. So let's see. The trade deadline's at the end of October.
But make sure the moves are smart. Like, I've seen people tweet, like, well, Clay Matthews is out there. Clay Matthews is out there for a reason. He's washed up. Like, you know, you need linebacker help, but not him.
No, you have one. That's Winovich. Like, you got that guy.
Well, I want a D-tackle.
You need someone in the middle.
Well, yeah. This Josh Uche, who they drafted, who's been inactive for two straight weeks. Like, hopefully he'll be able to be a playmaker when he's healthy or gets back.
Yeah, it's either a linebacker or a tackle, middle linebacker or a tackle. That's what they need.
Jim and Winthrop, go ahead, please.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
I'll call out two things. One thing, really, but now you touched on Gilmore, who aggravates me every weekend. It just seems like teams target him. And what happened to the good old days of a shutdown corner? People don't seem like they have any respect on his side. They seem to just throw at him. It happened Miami, Tennessee. This year they're throwing at him. It doesn't seem like he evokes fear in anybody. That's my first comment. But going on to Brady, just an observation. And I know it's a different season, and I know it's a different team, but when was the last time you can remember that? Three games in a row, he threw four picks. Two of them were straight over the top, almost looked like the same identical interception, and two were out to the flat to the right for pick sixes. I just don't ever remember.
No. I mean, his interception totals are stupid. You ever thought they're wrong?
Well, the one he threw yesterday, what I just can't understand is how, you know, so you're not going to be on the same page with new players and new system. How are you not on the same page with Rob Gronkowski? That blows my mind.
Because Gronk blows. I seriously, again, he wasn't even looking for the ball until it was late. So there was some major, you know, and again, it could have been Brady. The ball was too early, but I think it was Gronk. He looks clueless. He looks horrible.
In 2016, he only had two interceptions the entire season.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a suspension year. But he's only played 12 games. But two interceptions in 12 games. He's at three now, right?
This correct.
Is my stat, yeah. My stat sheet's even low. In 2010, he had four.
Yeah. That was like 36 and four, wasn't
it? The MVP.
Yeah, 36 and four.
And then he threw one in the first series against the Jets in the playoffs.
I mean,
that was the Jets year.
It was.
His interception total starting in 2014, 9, 7, 2, 8, 11, 8. He's already up to three. So I don't think that's Tom Brady. I think that's Bruce Arians. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think Brady got stupid overnight or sloppy overnight. I think it's not the same program. And maybe he's finding that out. Maybe you're all finding that out right now. Gilmore, team's targeting him. I think that's an interesting point.
It is.
He's a great corner, and you know, I think rightfully was a defensive player of the year last year and all that. But it doesn't seem to translate. Like when Revis was that guy or Deion Sanders was that guy or Ty Law was that guy, teams wouldn't throw on him.
Richard Sherman is another one, too.
You literally, those guys literally took away half the field because teams said, we're not going to mess with him. Teams still mess with Gilmore.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's a great corner. I think he's a good corner. He's just in a watered-down, you know, market at the position.
Yeah.
Like even Jalen Ramsey's good, but I don't put Ramsey in that same group as those guys either. But the caller's right on. Tennessee went at him. Do you remember that?
The F in Miami Dolphins did in week 17 with Devontae Parker.
Teams aren't afraid.
And they went at him again in week one. He got two pass interference penalties.
It's amazing that he just does not instill fear for all that he's done.
I mean, see, that's what last night should tell you, is that they threw the ball deep on him because they thought they could beat him.
Okay, here's an update. Then we're back with more reaction to last night's loss in Seattle that we have strangely turned into a win, which I'm really trying to fight. Anyway, here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Bill. Just what did you see from Cam Newton and in the attempt to come back there at the end?
Yeah, I thought our team competed hard. We, you know, scored. And then we covered a kickoff, got the ball back, and you know, got it to the 1 yard line. And Seattle made a good play, so I give them credit. They deserve a win. About what you would think it would be. We had one play to score, and we tried to go with what we thought was our best play. What else is there to think about?
Bill in his snide baby mode. What a baby. Seriously. You lost. You came up short. It's okay. And you were partly responsible, oh, by the way, with the way you managed the clock down the stretch. Never mind that last play call, which was, again, as you looked at it, exactly the same as the previous one.
Correct.
The third and was so the possession that they scored to make it a 5-point game was that Edelman deep ball down to the one, and then they ran the exact same play with, I think, the exact same motion.
They did, yeah. There was a tight end back there, like Henner, is that his name? Whoever the other guy is, he's back there with Johnson in the backfield, and then he motions out to the left side, and Johnson moves over to the left. Exact same play. Which is another thing, like, you already showed it to him once. So don't you think they're going to adjust on it?
Like, exactly. And, well, they obviously did. So, like, you lost the coaching battle there. They were ready for that play. Like, I get your rationale. They hadn't stopped it all day. Understood, of course. But the result was that they were there. They were ready for it. They snuffed it out. So you lost on coaching on that play. You know, never mind execution. I mean, I don't know. That Collier kid got down there. I mean, I don't know what Iwuanu or whatever, you know, missed the block. But if the guy's going to be diving at his ankles, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, they blew it up. They knew it was coming. And again, as you pointed out, too, Shaq Mason, the right guard, obviously comes over and, you know, he pulls over to the left side. The first time they ran it, Mason
he pummeled someone.
He did. There was nobody for him to hit this time. Like, they snuffed it out. They totally did. They knew it was coming. And again, my issue is there was no other option. Like, if you're going to run that formation, there's got to be another version that comes out of that.
And they should have had one more play. They should have called the timeout after the Edelman out on the last drive. They would have had at least one more play, maybe two, depending on how they managed it, but at least one for sure. So, unimaginable play call that Seattle was ready for, and they bungled the clock a little bit. So, maybe that's why Bill was so pissy after the game. Our the big fella here, Jimmy, give me the Bedard exchange first. Poor big boy just got hucked a loogie at last night.
And he tried to be courteous.
He tried to be. Yeah, he says, some are saying, you know, he did the typical thing. Yeah, Bill, some people are saying, the idiots, you know, they do.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, not me. No. But some people. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Bill, about the last play, there are some people who are already criticizing Josh as being too predictable, same grouping, running. Where do you stand as far as, you know, to just be able to execute well enough from the 1 yard line to punch in there, regardless of pretty much whatever you do?
Yeah. Yes.
So you think just the execution was lacking down there?
No, I said at the beginning that I thought the Seattle made a good play. I think I said that at the beginning of the at this.
We always like to get the snort in there.
Why aren't you paying attention, Greg?
Oh, Jesus. Come on, Bill.
Yeah, I think I said at the beginning of this stupid thing.
Well, it was even worse when someone asked him about the time. Do you have that exchange, Jimmy?
Was there a thought at all to take a timeout after the long play to Julian there at the end?
Seattle took a timeout. I mean, what are you talking about?
I think clock ran down from 36 seconds to 13 after the 18-yard completion to Edelman.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well.
Bill, the timeout was after your incomplete to Edelman. Seattle called a timeout when the clock was stopped.
Correct.
For some reason, because that's just what Pete does.
Kudos to Doug Cutt who asked that. Like, gotcha. You know, like, again, I think he didn't give an answer there because his response after when he explains goes from 36 to 13 or whatever it is. And he missed 25 seconds. Bill's like, I think he's stewing and he's pissed because he realized he screwed it up.
Yes.
He should have called a timeout.
Yes.
So they whiffed.
Yeah, well.
They lost a lot of time there.
I'm telling you, they should have had at least one more play, maybe two. And then it's not.
I think you're being kind, Mike. They would have had three, maybe four.
Well, there's only four downs. I mean, at some point. But we did it before, Murray. They had one timeout. Edelman's play, he was tackled with 27 seconds left, you said, Mass, right?
Yeah, it was probably, he was getting up at that point, so I'd call it, 28 or 29.
Okay, so now it's first down with 27 seconds. Can you run four plays in 27 seconds? That's a little tight. A play 6 to 8 seconds. So that's pushing it, especially if you're throwing it in the end zone.
All right, so three.
Okay, three. Right, exactly. They wound up running two. They ran two plays. They got Harry down to the 1 yard line and then the Cam Newton run. If you had called timeout right there, you would have had three.
Yes, there's no question about it.
And you still could have thrown over the middle. You still could have thrown over the middle and short if you run up and clock it. So you start with 27. The play takes, I don't know, okay, it's called 6 to 8 seconds. Now you're at around 20 seconds. You run up and clock it. Boom, 12 seconds left or something. That's time for two plays, two throws into the end zone.
I'm surprised they didn't clock it
Or one throw into the end zone, and then you can run on the last play because that's the last play. But you had one, they left one play on the table.
No question. They absolutely did. They absolutely did. Like, to me, it's even if they had been sort of prepping for it, you say they run up to the line and they clock up at 22. You can still probably get three in. It might be a little tight, but all you need is a second on the clock to snap the last one.
That's right. That's right.
That's all you need.
Yeah, well.
So you absolutely could have had three plays in there. They took too long.
Oh, he's such a baby. You're such a baby, Bill. You're the best. Everyone knows you're the best. You've won more games than, or you're going to win more games than anyone. Like, you'd be such a baby about it.
He was salty.
You know what? He wanted to pull a Matt Patricia there. Yeah, well, I won 9 Super Bowls. Right. He wanted to, but he knows how much of a
baby.
Dinky would sound like.
Okay, so anyway.
Yeah, well.
There's that. We'll pick it up on the other side in a long commercial-free segment.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mazz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Cam, you mentioned that on that last play, it was something you guys had run a couple times and maybe gone back to the well one too many times. Did you sense that they had a beat on you on that play based on how it looked to you after the fact?
No, I just didn't make everybody right. And that's the only thing I regret. In that type of situation, it's humbling to be able to, have the respect of a team to have the ball in my hands. I just got to deliver. I saw a clip of it. I could have made it right by just bouncing it. I was just trying to be patient, just thinking too much, man. Normally, or even just diving over the top. So many different things that flashed over me and playing a fast defense like that. As soon as you guess, you're wrong. So, I definitely learned from this. And, the play was there. The play's been there all game. And moving forward, we just got to scheme up things and being put in that situation again, hopefully we can have a better outcome.
Exact same play, exact same personnel. They ran just a couple minutes before for a touchdown.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, and I got it wrong, it was Izzo who was in the backfield with Jakob Johnson. And Izzo motions out to the left and gets outside of Onuwenu on the left side. So, you know, so over there they have two tackles and a tight end.
What do you think they're running?
Exactly. And then
and
Johnson.
Also, by the way, Tooney and, you know, Wynn, their best run blockers.
Right. And then also they put Johnson over there.
And they pull Mason.
Right. And they still couldn't get it because Seattle knew it was coming.
Exact same play with the exact same personnel. It's just not like them. It's you know, they'll run the same kind of play out of a different personnel group to give you a different look and try and get the same result and try and just give you a little something to look at, but do the same thing. Same play, same personnel, same motion, same everything. Like, it's just that's I don't know.
Seattle was ready for it, as you said.
Okay, Dan and Quincy, back to your phones. Hi, Daniel.
Telga.
Daniel.
And it's not why I call, but when have you ever seen Belichick happy after a loss?
Yeah, does everybody such a baby about it?
Never. Oh, please. What's the word you use? Sensey? Are you being a little sensey, Felga, because he attacked one of your own little kind in the media? That's what you do. You're protecting your own little, these a-holes in the media.
How are they a-holes? Why are they a-holes?
That's redundant.
They're all a-holes. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, Felga. And I'll tell you why some people are turning the loss into a win yesterday, because I had to listen to these a-holes, aforementioned a-holes, tell me about how Belichick was going to fall apart without that push face, pouty ball and chain that he had wrapped around his neck last year and the last 3 years that I've been calling your radio show about. And he came from a Teddy Bridgewater implosion yesterday, and that stinking coach Carolina has of losing another game because he wasn't that great yesterday. But he wasn't that great. I'm telling you. And it's a testament to the coaching of this team to play the way they did, given the fact that, I don't know, I lost a mom. Tony, you lost your mom. He lost a mom at the beginning of the week. The car accident with James White.
Yep.
For them to do what they did last night was unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to go unbelievable. Boy, talk about who's going, who's getting soft. Who's getting soft? Now it's unbelievable to lose, to blow the clock and run an unimaginative play that the defense snuffed out on the goal line, and now that was unbelievable? Come on, Danny.
Didn't he start the call by criticizing people who turned a loss into a win?
Holy moly.
What's his point?
No. His point is that
maybe that Belichick was in a pissy mood because he's, you know, it's been a tough week personally. He lost his mother. And I also saw that Linda lost her dad at the end of the week, and so they had the James White thing on Sunday.
I don't think that's it. That's not what Danny's saying. Danny's saying is that they put all those distractions aside. Bill lost a loved one. James White, horrible story.
Oh,
that
gosh,
one,
awful.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
I mean, honestly, thoughts and prayers to James White and what he's going through. That's just brutal. But they put that aside and still had a good week. That's what I thought that he meant. But either way, you don't yell at me about the Belichick thing. I've been telling you for over a year that they'd win games with Brian Hoyer as their quarterback. Maybe not that one last night. But they'd win games and they'd win the division with Brian Hoyer because of the program and Bill Belichick. So you don't have that complaint with me or Maz.
I mean, with the exception of the Buffalo game here last year, that was the best their offense has looked in a while.
Since the first half of last season.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh game, maybe, yeah, like Pittsburgh was good. Remember the opener?
Yeah, no, and they had a, you know, in the first half of the year, they put up a lot of points. And
yeah,
then they
played garbage, though.
And then they had the late Buffalo game. But in the second half, other than that Buffalo game, they did squat offensively.
Wow, I'm serious. That's the best they've looked on offense in a long time.
Same crappy weapons Brady had. Same crap. Danny, I'm on your side of the street with this one. I don't know why you're yelling at me. Same crappy weapons that don't know where to go and can't get open. Cam Newton decided to actually throw to them, trust them, use them. And wouldn't you know it, N'Keal Harry actually looked like a player. And Damari Bird actually did something for you in this game. Is that his first name? How do I pronounce that first name?
Damir Bird. I thought he looked pretty decent.
Yep.
He was all right.
So, and he even threw to Jacoby Myers for a big first down in the second half. What do you know? As Maz said earlier, 12 targets to N'Keal Harry, led the team.
Nine to Bird,
two to Izzo, one to Myers. That total, you said 24 before?
24.
How many? You think Tommy's throwing 24 attempts to that collection?
No.
No.
No way.
He wouldn't throw those guys in practice, for crying out loud. 24 targets. You know what those guys have in common? Brady hated them all. Remember that thing with the tight ends last year?
Oh, yeah.
When they asked about Izzo and Lacoste? Yeah, I just play with who they told me to play. I didn't want to bring in some jackass off the street who sucks and doesn't know which way is up. It's not my fault.
This is the idea. This was the idea. Chris in Worcester. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's the simple fact that Cam Newton's mobile, and that's the evolution of football now. You have to be a little bit mobile, and it gives them 1 or 2 seconds to throw to these guys.
I got to tell you, I'm sorry, Chris, to cut you off. How many of those plays of those guys were off platform, if you will, or with him moving?
Oh, not many, no.
But there was a 3rd and 7 there where Brady, the statue in the pocket, he would have been dead to rights, throw it away, throw it into the ground. Look at Russell Wilson. He's never had a star wide receiver or anything like that. A little bit of mobility, not a running quarterback.
Okay.
You know, nothing like that.
All right, but I'm telling you, Chris, I think the vast majority of Newton's passing stuff this year has come in the pocket.
I'm not sure he throws well on the move.
It's this whole narrative, and it sounds right on paper, is that Newton's a better fit because he can extend a play for these bum receivers to get open. Like that was the boo-hoo Brady crew sort of rationale of why they could be better with Newton, because he can run around and create some more time. I don't think that's really happened.
No, it hasn't. I would say the majority of those passes, he's taken a relatively quick drop and firing it out of there.
He's run, but those are running plays. He hasn't run to throw. I can't imagine. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
No.
I feel like they've been mostly in the pocket.
Yeah, and I don't, again, I wouldn't describe him as quick.
No, he's not quick.
You know,
he's
so powerful. Russell Wilson's quick. So Russell Wilson's making guys miss, and he's throwing on the run, and you know, Newton, that's not what Newton is. I don't remember him throwing on the run. My guess is he's probably not great at it.
I mean, he just hasn't had to. He's just trusted the guys to get open and make a play, unlike the previous guy. Luke in Bridgewater. Hi, Luke.
Hey. On the clock management, you know, I kind of understood not taking the timeout at the time because of that opens up the middle of the field, but Felger, you did explain, you know, you still had a shot with that. But I think Bill's being pissy because he knows he's wrong, trying to outsmart, he thought that he was outsmarting him there. But the play after that, guys, why is no one talking about that? You mentioned it, the Edelman pass went through his hands, mm-hmm. and you see the reaction Edelman had. It looked like he was saying, oh, man, I should have had that one. So who do you put that on?
Both.
I know Cam threw it hard. But, I mean, it literally went through his hands. And if he catches that, then, yeah, we're telling him he should have called a timeout, Belichick. But none of this stuff matters. If Edelman makes that play.
No, it's a ball game.
Yeah. Ball was a little hard and high. Edelman has an issue with drops in recent years. He had 9. He led the league last year. I mean, it sucks, but that's part of his game now.
That was the game right there. You had it.
The play was there. Again, it was a hard catch because the ball was rifled. But you know what? I mean, he can make that play. I mean, we've seen him catch the ball when he's right a million times on bullets. That would have been, what a way that would have been to end it, too.
We continue with your reaction to it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.